So today marks the disappearance day of Narhari Sakya Prabhu. So I'll read a little excerpt. Before meeting Mahaprabhu, Narahari had written many Sanskrit and Bengali songs about the Braja Rasa of Radha Giridhara. Later, he and Gadadhar Pandit always stayed with Lord Chaitanya. Narahari used to please the Lord by waving a chamra or tika fan. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod Gaura Arti sings a song glorifies this, Narahari Adikori Chamara Dulaya. That's what we sing in the Gaura Arti every evening. Narahari Sakar's family was the pride of the Vaishnavas. By their influence, all the people of Sri Kanta became Vaishnavas. The entire village torn into a branch of the desired tree of love of God. Since the time of Lord Gaurachandra, Sri Kanda has been a preaching center for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One day, Sri Nityananda Prabhu came to Sri Kanda and asked Narahari, "All right, we know who you are, so where's the honey?" By his mystic power, Narahari turned a pot of water into super sweet honey for the Lord's pleasure. So this morning at the Mangal Arti, we read that Narahari turned a pond into honey. So appears to be a little different, but to reconcile that is that these pastimes are going on eternally. And so sometimes when these pastimes takes place, the details may differ a little bit. But in essence here is that by Narahari Sakar's mystic potency, he turned some water into honey for the Lord's pleasure. So that's the important point to know. Narahari serves Lord Shyamasundar in Braja Leela as Madhumati, a Pranasaki who supplies mouth-watering honey for Radha Damodar and their dear ones. So now he's Narahari Sakar. Sri Narahari Sakar's very being was saturated with Radha Krishna prema. No one can fathom the depth of his devotion and pure love for Radha and Krishna. In Braja, he is Radha's dear Saki, Madhumati, a storehouse of sweetness. That's what Madhumati means. And in Gauranga Leela, he is Narahari, a storehouse of Radha Krishna prema. And this is taken from Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Narahari Sakar's books, Padakalpataru and Krishna Bhajanamrita, include wonderful intimate songs praising Lord Gauranga and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Sripad B.V. Narayan Maharaj says, Narahari composed many ambrosial nectarian songs that overflow with the sweetness of devotion. In Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, Narahari teaches how to worship Sri Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Lochan Das Thakur and many others were disciples of Narahari Sakar Thakur. Though not accessible, his samadhi is in Radhakund. Because of Srinivas' popularity, he met Narahari Sakar, an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, from nearby, my computer distorted the Sanskrit when it puts it into word to type it, so. Anyway, someplace. Narahari Sakar's intense devotion had pleased Lord Chaitanya, and Narahari had the distinction of being allowed to sing the Lord's glories in the Lord's presence. So as we learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita and the life of Lord Chaitanya, he never allowed anyone to praise him in his presence. But Narahari Sakar had that privilege to glorify the Lord in his presence. Although the Lord, out of humility, would not let anyone else do so. This distinction impressed young Srinivas, and he accepted Sri Narahari as his first instructing guru. After meeting Narahari Sakar, Srinivas began to show signs of ecstasy. Narahari told Srinivas to go to Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Srinivas was considering how to execute the instruction, his father passed away from this mortal world after 7 days of fever. It was a shock to the family, and Srinivas did all he could to console his mother. Meanwhile, the omniscient Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preparing his associates for Srinivas's arrival. He had already written to Rupa, Sanatan, and Gopal Bhatta Goswamis, requesting them to teach Srinivas spiritual life. And he asked Gadadhar Pandit in Jagannath Puri to teach Srinivas the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narahari Sakar advised Srinivas to see to his mother's care in Jajigram, where her father and brothers had moved from Chakandi. Then Srinivas was to proceed to Puri to associate with Lord Chaitanya. Srinivas asked Narahari to initiate him into the chanting of Krishna's name, but Narahari told him that Lord Chaitanya wanted him to take initiation from Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So this is a nice principle of Vaishnava etiquette also, that with all Srinivas approach him, he directed, well, okay, these are higher instructions, so please follow that. So with that, we can go into Srimad Bhagavatam. And today we're doing Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Again, text 20. Evam prasanna manaso.
Evam prasanna manaso.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Evam prasanna manaso. Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Evam prasanna manaso.
Evam prasanna manaso.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam. Mukta sangasya jayate.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Please chant.
Evam prasanna manaso.
Evam prasanna manaso.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Mukta sangasya jayate. Evam prasanna manaso.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad tattva vijnanam. Mukta sangasya jayate.
Evam prasanna manaso.
Bhagavad bhakti yogataha. Bhagavad tattva vijnanam.
Mukta sangasya
jayate.
Evam
prasanna manaso.
Bhagavad
bhakti yogataha.
Bhagavad
tattva vijnanam.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Mukta sangasya jayate.
Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yoga Tattva Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate
Evam
Thus
Prasanna enlivened
Manasaha
of the mind,
Bhagavat Bhakti,
the devotional service of the Lord,
Yogataha,
by contact of
Bhagavat,
regarding the personality of Godhead,
Tattva,
knowledge,
Vijnanam,
scientific,
Mukta,
liberated.
Sangasya
of the association.
Jayate
becomes effective.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Translation. Thus established in a mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly, men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, Hare Krishna, man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of God at Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita 18.55, it is also said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. Thus, attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance. Or, in other words, when one is actually a Brahmana by qualification. A Brahmana is a symbol of Sattva-guna, or the mode of goodness. And others who are not in the mode of goodness are either Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or less than Shudras. The Brahmanical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a Brahmana. The devotee is already a Brahmana by action, but that is not the end of it. This is very significant, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a Brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually in the transcendental state. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a Brahmana. In the material stage, even a Brahmana is also a conditioned soul, because although in the Brahminical stage the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the Brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of God at Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men, or men with a poor fund of knowledge, do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is free from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a Brahman. When a qualified Brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava, in the enlightened stage of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Chita Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichanam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Krishna Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Tupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutaleshana Vishnu Vibhavata Bhuti Namade Sri Sri Vrindata Devira Padapakta Kajadai Nekuru Padaya Padaya Namah Shri Vibhavata Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutaleshana Vibhavata Vidakta Swamiti Namade Namaste Sarasati Devi Bodhavani Pachari Hare Krishna. So, as I was reflecting on these verses and this part of the Bhagavatam, I was recalling that from the Bhagavad Gita, it starts with Aham Brahmasmi, basically Krishna introducing that you're not his body. And he starts giving basic instructions. He described different yoga systems, different types of yogas, practices, different dharmas, like there are 10, 12 different dharmas, and dharma, upadharma, sanatana dharma, all different kinds of. And Krishna progresses throughout the Bhagavad Gita with all different kinds of karma yoga, this yoga, that yoga. And towards the end, then he says to Arjuna, okay, now, Sarva Dharman Parichaja Mame Kamsar Namraja Aham Tom Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Yasyami Masacha. Now give up all these varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I'll protect you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So that's, in essence, that's where the Bhagavad Gita ends. By Krishna requesting surrender of the conditioned soul. And then the Bhagavatam begins immediately on a different level. Janmadi asyayataha, that Krishna is the source of creation, maintenance, destruction. Krishna is the source of everything. And the very next verse, Dharma prochita kaitavo, kicking out of cheating religion, kicking out of all these lower processes. So immediately we see like a jump of a difference of the level of the Bhagavatam that immediately is directly with devotional service. none of these, what some people say, these kind of monkey business, these jumping around, but straight devotional service on this higher level. So, and then it progresses. So now we are here, and it's the entire chapter so far are very, very key verses that Srila Prabhupada quoted over and over and over again, pinpointing the importance of Krishna Bhakti. So this is very important, that also to understand the audience in which, to which Maharaj Sukadev Goswami was speaking. So what was the audience, apart from Maharaj Parikshit, that he was mainly instructing? What was his audience that he was speaking to? Who are they? Yes, senior Mahajans, they are all great devotees, they were all great sages. So they weren't ordinary persons. So in one sense we can say that this crowd, they were very qualified. So there was no need to tell them about, you know, these bodies and these different yoga systems. They already know all of that, they've already passed through that stage. So the audience that Sukadev Goswami was speaking to was a very high class audience, very, very high level. Just like Srila Jiva Goswami, if you study his satsandarbhas, it is described by our acharyas that they were on such a high level because what he did, he took the works of the Goswamis. You know, Jiva Goswami was the nephew of Sanatana Rupa Goswami, and he took their work and he presented it in such a way and to a level of audience, like he was preaching and he was discussing with the highest class of people, even from the material level of the kings and the people in the Mohammedan government, to great scholars. So he presented these sandarbhas in such a high level to suit his audience, so much so that it's described that, according to our other acharyas, that at best, we can only grasp like 30% of the intent and the knowledge of what Jiva Goswami presented in his satsandarbhas. And even that knowledge is so high that he wrote several sandarbhas, and each sandarbha has many chapters. And out of those many chapters, from one book, one chapter, only one part of that chapter is Radhikaman Prabhu. He was able to use only a small fraction of one chapter of one of those books. And he did his thesis on that and graduated with his PhD from the most prestigious university in the world, Oxford. So that gives you an idea of the level of Jiva Goswami's work, to the level that what he was giving. So similar to Bhagavatam, all these sages were there. They were on such a level of understanding and spiritual practice. And then this Bhagavatam is being presented to them. And above all of that, Srila Prabhupada gave us that kind of association in the Bhagavatam. So what does that tell us? How fortunate we are that we're being exposed to this Bhagavatam that were spoken to the highest of the elevated sages. Srila Prabhupada gave us access to this. So how much greater can we count our fortune? It's very important to understand this, that what Srila Prabhupada gave us in his Bhagavatam, that was exposed to all these great sages, he gave us access to that. One time, when one of his servants, Srila Prabhupada, was talking about that if you become 90% Krishna conscious, you can go back home. And then, I don't remember the different figures, but everyone was saying, no, they can't do that. And Srila Prabhupada stepped on to the next level, okay, 80%. And somebody went about 75%. So he said, okay, that's it. You have to become 75% Krishna conscious, and then you can go back to Godhead. So while Srila Prabhupada was going back to his room, his servant mentioned to Srila Prabhupada, "Sir Prabhupada, even that I can do." And Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, hold on to my dhoti, I have a key to the back door." So this is one of the keys to the back door right here. That Srila Prabhupada exposed us to something that, in one sense, at least for me, is way, way beyond, my concept and understanding. But he exposes it, he gives us access. So therefore, it's very important that we relish this Bhagavatam. Yeah. Nashta prayushya bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevanam. So we relish this Bhagavatam and service, perform service to the pure devotees. I think this, I raised this question in class the other day about what is a pure devotee. And so one time Srila Prabhupada answered that a pure devotee is one who engages in pure devotional service. So in other words, there's a difference between a pure devotee and an advanced devotee. So if we strictly follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, that's pure devotional service. Therefore, according to Srila Prabhupada, he can term us as pure devotees. Being advanced is another question, is another topic, how advanced we are in pure devotional service. So when this verse talks about service to the pure devotees, service to the Bhagavatas, service to the devotees, we can understand that it's service to all of us here, present and who are not present. So service to the devotees give us this impetus of spiritual life. It creates this base and which pretty much brings us to today's verse of talking about the different classes of men, the different stages, yeah, of the Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahmanas. So this verse is describing that one has to at least become a Brahmana before one can become a Vaishnava. This doesn't mean that one has to make separate effort, take separate efforts to become a Brahmana. One can, by practice of devotional service, by becoming Vaishnavas, devotees of Lord Vishnu, one automatically develops these Brahmanical qualities. Or in other words, it comes very quickly. Actually, yesterday, I thought I'll do a little bit of a look up on what some folks have to say about the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And I can advise you, don't look it up. So this one Acharya was saying, well, the Brahmana is different from a Vaishnava. On the other hand, the Brahmana is the same as a Vaishnava, if the Brahmana is a Vaishnava. And the Vaishnava is different from the Brahmana if he's not a Brahmana, but he's same as a Brahmana if he's a Brahmana. And they start to, it's a whole bunch of confusing things. So anyway, he talked about, the Brahmana is different from the Vaishnava because the Vaishnava worships Lord Vishnu. So therefore the Vaishnavas and the Shaivites and all the demigod worshippers are the same thing. And then he quoted Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter where Krishna says that out of the daityas, I am, what is that he says? That I am, pardon? Prahlad, right. And he said, out of the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. So therefore he's saying that the Shivites worship Lord Shiva, and Krishna is saying that Shiva means the same person. So therefore the Shaivites and the Vaishnavas, they're all on the same level. And he started creating confusing arguments. Still at that point he said, this is enough for me, forget about this business. So, but the Vaishnava conclusion is very different. Or Vaishnava Siddhanta is very different. So, once Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was ill, and at that point, he said, isn't there anyone who can present this Vaishnava theology to defeat these rascal smarter brahmanas who are posing themselves to be the head of society and to be the highest that there be? So at that point, his able son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, took it upon himself to write this book, thanks to Divyanga Prabhu and Gadatir, the Brahman and Vaishnava. And so at that point, after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wrote this book of the difference and what is a Brahmana, what is a Vaishnava, and the difference, then the present government was so impressed that they decided to hold a 3-day Sangha to discuss his teachings, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj presented his argument. And at the end of those 3 days, most of the people, they were convinced of the difference of the level of a Vaishnava as above that of a Brahman, except for a few envious persons. And this presentation was made, and he also gave the same conclusion that Srila Prabhupada is giving here, that one has to be a Brahmana in quality, and he made it very clear, one has to be a Brahmana by qualification, not by birth, in quality, and then one can become a Vaishnava. Because being a Brahmana necessitates one understanding the difference between spirit and matter, understanding the existence that he is of the spiritual nature. And thus he starts giving up his desires for material attachments. He understands Brahman, he understands transcendence. But that is only the beginning. So that becomes the sambandha, the base for one's understanding, for one taking the next step of understanding and to reach his prayojana, his goal. So that is, in essence, one of the understandings here, that being a Brahmana, it sets the base. It becomes the basis of our Vaishnava culture. So that becomes a sambandha. So we have to be on the understanding of the spiritual platform, sambandha, and then we set our goal for wanting love of God or whatever stage we want above that. And so that's a prayojana, and the abhideya is the process of getting from your sambandha stage to your prayojana. So sometimes we may set a goal, or most times, because, at least in my own case, because I'm not very qualified, I can't set a high goal, so I set somewhere low. Well, okay, I want to dedicate myself to serving Lord Jagannath in this way. So that's like the prayojana. I'm here, I have no qualification, whatever, but I'm trying to do this service. So the process of doing that becomes that's the abhideha. So when one reaches that goal, by Krishna's arrangement, we got Jagannath deities, now we have no excuse, we can serve Jagannath. Then, so that's a prayojana, but then that prayojana now becomes a new sambandha, it now becomes a new base. From there, we can set another goal to go higher. So it's, in essence, it's something like that the qualification of a Brahmana, what that is. And I think in the 18th chapter, Srila Prabhupada described that as the Brahmabhuta platform, setting that stage for the understanding. So with a devotee, as I mentioned earlier, a devotee, once he practices Krishna consciousness and practices the principles, he automatically becomes a Brahmana, because it comes like a side note. It comes like a side effect. He doesn't have to make specific efforts. He doesn't have to put particular energy into that. It just happens simultaneously. On the other hand, we find that devotees from different classes take to the Vaishnava culture. And so we shouldn't see that okay, because we're Vaishnavas, the book says that we're automatically Brahmanas, therefore we can act in any way. Like, for example, putting our shoes neat when we come in the temple room, or don't leave cups, you know, strewing around after the Sunday feast, or after, you know, we drink some water, leave the cup out there. And so we're Vaishnavas, so then somebody else, a sudra or someone, will come and pick it up and take it to the garbage. No. Because we are in an institution, then we are institutionalized, that even though we might be in a high platform, what we work with principles. And these principles of cleanliness, respect for others, surrender, all these are the Brahminical principles which a devotee is expecting to have and possess. So these qualities should develop. And if they are not being developed, then we should make a special emphasis. Like one time Srila Prabhupada said, he said, this movement is meant for everyone, excepting one type of people. Do you know what that type of people, Srila Prabhupada said?
The lazy people.
The lazy people, exactly. So, he said crazy also?
Yes,
crazy. Yeah. I have seen the likeness of a lot of crazy people becoming very, very, very mature in Krishna consciousness.
What is crazy?
Yeah.
What is crazy?
Means in my dictionary, it means that you're just overly attached to material life and thinking that's the essence of life. But on some sense, even in a material sense, like some people are not very sensitive even to material life, they're not sensitive. Like I remember when we were living in Miami, Radhakan and I, we used to take care of this one boy. He came to the temple. He's a grown up, I think he was probably like my age. And he was completely crazy. It was like just nuts in the sense of the word. He was dirty and nuts. And he came, so one of our service, we used to take care of devotees when they come to the temple. Senior devotees and all devotees. So we started to take care of him. We teach him, hey, you know, morning time, get up, you take a bath. And anyway, you know, he starts going on. And after 6 months, you'll be surprised to know, we saw drastic changes in that devotee. Within 6 months, he was like a completely sober person. He was preaching Krishna consciousness, going out on book distribution. And everything he said was strictly in line with our Vaishnava Siddhanta. Was very, very significant. And he was so far out initially, so far out. He understood moral principles, Brahminical qualities, and was so nice. And up to some years after we went back to Miami, and we ran into him, and he was still that very same person. So nice. It was remarkable. So, you know, these are some of the things that we have to, you know, we have to develop. And we have to understand these differences, that where we are, where we need to go, what is our understanding of our culture, what are these levels of the Brahmana and the Vaishnava, what's the difference, what's the similarity, and how we can use these facilities to foster our Krishna consciousness. Because later in the purport, it comes on to talk about when one starts engaging, like this 1855 verse also says, I think that's the right one, only by the process of undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, not by Brahminical qualities. Srila Prabhupada stated very clearly that it's not going to happen. Not by scientific knowledge, not by material scientific knowledge. Just talk about Vigyan. Vigyan is scientific knowledge or applied knowledge. Like when I was in high school, we used to have, I was in high school classes, then when I passed through that, we went to advanced classes. Advanced classes were basically the same thing that they taught us in high school, but we have to apply it practically. And how you apply it shows how much you understand the subject matter. So when one applies, Vijnana, applies this knowledge of transcendence and of spiritual culture, then one can get into the realm of devotional service, because devotional service is a practical process. Like, if you look at the word Bhakti Yoga, who can say what the word Bhakti Yoga means?
Can you explain? Bhakti.
Yeah, what does it mean?
The activity with the intention.
Where did you get that meaning from?
From dictionary.
Okay, so the dictionary says bhakti means devotion.
No. Right?
Yeah, some
well,
basic.
It can.
Yeah.
But Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, well, that's the point, that Srila Prabhupada intensified that word, bhakti yoga, and he added the meaning as devotional service. Because basically bhakti means devotion. But Srila Prabhupada added the word service, because he's acharya, and he's presenting the highest level of Krishna consciousness, he has the ability to do that.
So he termed it as devotional service, which means physical activity, practical application. So that is the difference. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this purport that when one can apply that in practical service to Krishna with unalloyed, unmotivated, then one gets a chance to enter into the realm of understanding Krishna. Other than that, it's not possible, it's not practical. And more than that, Krishna is a little reserved. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, you surrender, then I'll take care. He demanded surrender. Lord Chaitanya, he didn't demand surrender. He said, everyone chant Hare Krishna. The only thing he says, you have a little faith. And that's the beginning, that you have a little faith. And he exposed this to everyone. Anyone you meet, anyone you know, you see, tell them about Krishna. So that is Lord Chaitanya's program, that he didn't demand. Ultimately, you have to, as it, you know, it goes on. Even Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada first came, he told the early devotees, eat as much as possible. So everyone was very happy. Then afterwards, Srila Prabhupada said, now eat as little as possible. Then I said, Srila Prabhupada, why did you say that? He said, when I told you to eat as much as possible, no one questioned. Now I say to eat as little as possible, you're questioning. So initially, we come, welcome everyone, you know, and then we start applying the process. You know, sense control, Pacha Vega, Manasa Krodha Vega, and Jiva Vega, Udara Pasta Vega, like that. And we go on, you know. So this is the process, and as we do that, then we become more and more exposed. We become more and more devoted, our intelligence becomes clearer, our understanding becomes higher, and like that, by the mercy of Guru, Krishna, the association of devotees, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, eternal service, we're getting the opportunity to understand more and more. Like, we just finished Damodar month, Kartik. So, it's described that out of, you know, those two fingers of rope that were short, tying Krishna, that one represents effort and the other one represents the mercy, right? So who gave those two ropes, those two pieces, the extra rope? The entire village came and was giving Mother Yashoda ropes that bind Krishna and you're still two fingers short. But at the end, there is one person came to give that rope that made that. There you go, Srimati Radharani. So she's the one who gives that mercy, who gave us that opening. He gives that mercy, that by our serving, and she comes forward and gives that mercy, then everything becomes complete. Like this verse we recite every day. Nashta Prayusha Bhadrasha Nicham Bhagavata Seva. That all our anarthas, all our, are almost completely eradicated. The word almost is there. It's not completely eradicated, it's almost. So what takes care of that almost, that little bit? That is the mercy that takes care of that difference. So we have to perform our service, we have to do our part, and then Krishna arranges the other part. So it's a two-way street. We have to perform, and then Krishna sends his mercy, or Radharani recommends, like that. So that's the process of devotion service and how we can move from this stage of just being a Brahmana to a Vaishnava. So these are some thoughts I had on this verse. If anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, criticism, chastisement, Shrivakaran Prabhu, and then he had his hands up first.
Was Kunti, Mara Kunti, not audience when Sukadeva was speaking? That's one question.
I'm not very smart. I kind of forget your question.
Lord Krishna says that he that preaches my glories is considered the most exalted devotee. So we find sometimes some devotees, they are preachers, but they might not he is so rigidly engaged in all the aspect of practical service, but he is very practical in their approaching. So how you categorize such a thing?
All
the other one was a simple.
Yeah. So first of all, regarding Queen Kunti, my understanding is no, she wasn't there. I may be wrong on that. So it was all the sages that were there. Like there were no descriptions anywhere of women and children being there. They were following Sukadeva Goswami as he was walking. Some of them were looking at him, laughing at him that he was naked, and you know, like things like that, because of the lack of their understanding of such a supreme person in terms of his qualities. And so when he reached the at the bank of the Ganges, when all the sages were there, then all these children and others, they backed up. At the end of the Bhagavatam, after Sukadeva Goswami left, then Maharaj Parikshit's mother came, Uttara, and she asked him that, said, "I'm a woman, I cannot understand, I'm not able to grasp all these 7 days of Bhagavad business that just discussed, but please tell me, in a nutshell, in essence, what this teaching was all about." And that's when he spoke the Brihad Bhagavatamrita to her, explaining in essence what Sukadeva Goswami described in the last 7 days. So, yeah, what's the second part of
the
question?
A devotee that's...
Okay, yeah. A devotee that's preaching. So we can see that from different angles. There are different ways you can look at that. One way is that we have to understand what is service. Is chanting our rounds, is that a service? Yes or no? Yes, it is. Following the regulator principles, is that a service? Yes, it is. Taking prasadam, is that a service? Yes, it is. So then, if a devotee take prasadam, follow the regulator principles, chant Hare Krishna, and sometimes even, you know, go in some distribution, you know, or just live a devotional life, that is also service. On the other hand, one should not take advantage of that and say, "Well, I am a devotee, I am performing this, therefore I shouldn't do any practical service for Krishna." So if you see things in that way, then you can say no, that there's a difference, that one should perform these things and do service. So then you might find one might be a preacher, all he does is lectures all day. And some people say, "Well, okay, he's just giving lectures, but he will not come and sweep the floor." So from different understanding, we can come to different conclusions. In essence, from the highest understanding, that is also service, because this movement requires varieties. When Srila Prabhupada was in Venezuela, he met with his disciple, Hanuman Prabhu, who was the first sannyas that stepped down. So at that time, he became a grihastha, and that was unheard of in the movement. He was the first one. So he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, can I engage in your service?" And then Srila Prabhupada had tears in his eyes and he says, "Lord Chaitanya can spread this movement all by himself, but we need everyone's assistance." Yes. So he needs, then he go on to explain that he needs, so we need service in every category. And because we are a worldwide movement, there are so many services that are needed. Some are not, and we do not have the ability, like Srila Prabhupada, at least I don't, that he can do everything by himself, pretty much. So we need devotees from all different backgrounds and all different categories. Some of them may be enthused and like to, and wants to make this their service of cleaning the floor. Some might want to serve the deity. Some of them are going to be outdoor preachers. Some might be reserved devotees preaching one on one. I know, like my Guru Maharaj, he doesn't like to go out like on big preaching programs. But in a small crowd or like one on one, he can he can convince any non-devotee to become a devotee in like within an hour or two. He has done it many times. So like, so we have different categories. So all these are necessary because we are a worldwide spiritual movement. So we need preachers like in the scientific department. So sometimes somebody gonna be so to be a member of the scientific department, you have to do so much study and so much energy so that you might not have time to go out and distribute books. Or you might not have time to come and worship the deity. You only have to study and be like that. Like one devotee told me, Srila Prabhupada told him that, just go and get all the education you can and preach from that point. He told this Manipur Maharaj, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, that you just become a scientist and preach from the scientific point of view. Some of us, some not me, some other devotees, you told them, you take care of the Tulsi garden. So like that, you know, all different categories are there. So, hope that answers your question. So, Pani Bhushan Prabhu, he has a question. Yeah, so, he had his hands up. You still want to ask a question?
I was appreciating how you explained that, that these stages, they start in the same place with lesser realization, an instruction is given, and then that allows progress, and then you come to the realized stage. And then from there is another challenge. Isn't this what you were saying?
Yes.
And that presents another process.
Yeah,
and you come to a deeper realization.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking from the very beginning of the reading of the verse was the scientific, the word scientific actually means realized through the formula of the process. That the formula is given, and if one follows the process that you're describing, you know, engaging in practical works, then the realization will come. Because the scientific process, you follow the formula. Anyone who follows the formula in any part of the world probably uses this example. Sharing some chemical formula. And if it's applied in the right procedure, then the result will be the same. So the difference between a qualified Brahmana and the realized Vaishnava is that application, continuous, progressive application of scientific practicality. Is this a correct conclusion?
Yeah, my understanding, yes. Yeah. Yes, so it's all a process. That's why a process is called sadhana bhakti, regulated devotional service. And we are just going on stages.
Stages?
Yeah.
And we're not meant to be stuck in them.
No, this process is dynamic. You either go down or you go up. You never stay one place.
You made some slight reference to the devotees that become complacent. And then they just, eat as much as possible. Mm-hmm. That's my service, for example.
Yeah.
And then that's how they, that's the level of their realization, anamaya. You know, they're on that level of God consciousness because
which is
the instruction to eat as much as possible.
Yes, so that's also spiritual.
They're meant to go on
to
feed others.
Okay, yeah. Okay, somebody over here? Madhiji, you had a question? Oh, Mother Sri Devi.
Thank you for your class.
Thank you.
You had said that the conclusion of the Brahmana and Vaishnava argument was that the Brahminical stage is like a platform or a beginning point to become a Vaishnava. So I was wondering, was that like, and I believe in the purport it said the Brahminical, a Brahmana is an embodiment of sattva gun. So I was wondering, is that like saying coming to the sattva gun platform in order to come to Shuddha sattva, like the vasudeva stage?
Yeah, according to this and according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj in his book also, he says that, that being to become a Brahmana, one has to be on the sattva guna platform, on the mode of goodness. Because when one becomes rich on that platform, he can able to look patiently around him and see things with faith and patience and understand the difference between matter and spirit. So when he understands the difference between matter and spirit, means that he has some understanding of Brahman and transcendence, what this verse particularly talks about. Okay, it says there, yeah, somewhere here he talks about that one has to come to this Brahmanical state. So this Satogun platform is a platform for where a devotee is expected to pretty much start his spiritual life from. And that should not be confused with the different levels of Shudra, Vaishya, and Kshatriyas, that a devotee, a Vaishnava, can also be in one of those categories. But a Vaishnava is on a transcendental platform acting in these categories, like Arjuna, for example, one of the greatest Vaishnavas that we heard of, but he acted as a Kshatriya. So they are, in other words, they are, you can say like they are material levels of these four, and their spiritual levels. So,
well, it sounds like two different uses of the word. Like
exactly.
Two slightly different uses.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Because in this context, my understanding, Srila Prabhupada is talking of a material context of these Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and Shudras in material life. Because he mentioned that one has to become a Brahmana by material qualities. So he's talking about on a material platform. Without, forget that devotional service exists, that this is the order of society which is supposed to be. From a cultured Vedic society, you have these different categories. So when one reaches the category of a Brahmana, from there he can start his spiritual life. But from a transcendental spiritual platform, from Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusions, from any level, one can start their spiritual life. And when one starts spiritual life, by following the orders of the spiritual master, so that's where Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariparshana Sevaya comes in. That by accepting the order of the guru, then one automatically reaches on this level. Or he has the facilities, I would say, to reach on that level. Does that make a difference? Understand. Thanks. Randavinda Prabhu?
As Prabhupada says in a very simple way also, he says, one who knows Brahman is Brahman. One who sat Brahman, Brahman is Vaishnava. That's very profound.
Yeah.
One who knows Brahman is Brahman. One who sat Brahman is Vaishnava.
Yeah, that's it's actually hinted in this verse here. Have the knowledge, he's a Brahman, but when you apply that knowledge, begin, that's when you become Vaishnava. So, to just have knowledge, that's not going to put you anywhere. Madan Mohan Prabhu, you can take last question.
I was thinking that there's always two systems. There's the general system and then the special system from that Prabhupada has given us. So, generally it's said, one who leads his life without sinful activities, you know the verse, who's pious and life is free from sin, that they're in the mode of goodness. But then for the rest of us that didn't come from a sinless life, it was at verse 13:26, it points out again, there are those who, although not conversant with spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. So I kind of figured that's how we got it. That we,
yeah, that's how we got slipped into this. Yeah,
so
the whole process. Yeah,
because you know when you see these qualified Brahmins, they're such quality people, you know, the actual ones that are qualified. And you know, when I think about myself, I don't have any of their nature, their habits, their qualities. So, but yet we're getting so much mercy that even if you explain sometimes to these qualified Brahmins, they won't be able to understand it. So there's some special mercy.
Yeah,
Prabhupada gives us because of that. How to say here, your tendency to hear from authority, they also transcend their
death. Yes, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he said, I have created your good fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he created that for us. And when he went back to India, then people were criticizing him with his Western disciples and followers. He said, the greatest qualification of these, my students, is that they do what I say. So that becomes our greatest qualification. Simply do what our authority says. Then we have that faith that everything is all right. And we can see it practically. You see that we follow those instructions, everything becomes peaceful and happy. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.